Now let us once again seek the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we have been singing of thy wondrous works. We have been reading of thy wondrous works too in thy word. And Lord, it is our heart's desire that every one of us might behold and experience and taste thy wonderful works through Christ our Savior in salvation, and for us to have a glimpse of thy glory and the grace of our Savior Jesus Christ. So bless the preaching of thy word, bless the preacher, bless the hearer, and O Lord, may we all at the end give thee all the glory. For Christ we pray. Amen. Now, let us, friends, turn to that portion of God's Word in Luke chapter 13. Luke 13. The context of this passage that we have been reading together is that on a Sabbath day, that is on the seventh day, the last day of the week, which was a Saturday for the Jews, would remember the Sabbath on the Saturday. A woman's world was changed. She was a woman who was disabled. She was a woman in a great need. There is no indication here that she's an old woman. But we know that she was a needy woman. We are not told from what age she had this disability, this weakness in her back and in her body. But sometime earlier in her life, she was afflicted with a great disability. But one Sabbath day, she received a blessing from the Lord and from the Lord Jesus Christ. What a happy day that day was. What a happy Sabbath day that day was. Friends, Sabbath days, Christian Sabbath days, that is, the Lord's days, they are to be happy days. There are days of blessing. I ask you this. Are you glad for the Lord's Day? Do you seek a blessing from God when you come to a gathering like this? How many of us have been blessed? How many of us have been comforted, strengthened, built up by coming to a place like this where the Word of God is preached, where the Gospel of Jesus Christ is announced and declared? The Lord always blesses on the Sabbath day, as well as any other day, but especially on the Lord's Day. Christ's habit was to go on the Sabbath to public worship. Do you see the public worship of God as being a serious thing? And something that you see that this is the most important thing that you may engage in on at the beginning of the week? And there's a challenge, isn't there? How do we plan our week? Do we see it the first day of the week is the most important day that we go before the Lord and we worship Him? When you plan your holidays, do you put the Lord's Day as being important as well? And when you're planning things and you think, well, where am I going to be? Have I any plans? And to make sure, guard your Lord's days. Because there it is that God has commanded a blessing. The Lord has said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And here was this woman seeking to keep the Sabbath holy. And God blessed her in it. The Lord went there to bless people. And the Lord comes now to bless us in our gathering. And on that Sabbath day, in that synagogue in Galilee, for the last time, it is recorded that the Lord Jesus Christ comes to that synagogue in Galilee. And there he did a wonderful thing of that work of healing for this woman. He only had a few more months left. What do we do if we knew that we only had a few months left in our lives? Would we go about to be a blessing to someone? We live, my friends, in a very selfish world. that we want to receive and receive and what others can do for us. But here is our Lord Jesus Christ, self-giving, always blessing. If you are Christians, then copy Him in this. Seek to follow Him in this. Be a giver. It is better to give than to, more blessed to give than to receive. And so, here is this wonderful miracle. We do believe in miracles. We do believe in God working in miraculous way. The greatest miracle is turning someone who is spiritually dead to life. And that's something that God does still to this day. There are many of us here that a miracle has been done in us. And that is salvation. Bringing someone who is spiritually dead to be alive. And not just for now, but forever. Eternally alive. So here is just a few months before his cross. Just a few months before he's crucified. And when he was butchered to death upon the cross, before he was to carry our load of sin, the Lord comes to this woman who had this back-breaking disability. And here shows us how he works in sinners and how he saves sinners, not just naturally and physically, but spiritually. And so we want to learn a few things from this passage this morning, this healing of this crooked woman, and thinking about what it means to be free. Think about what it is to get free. The Lord speaks and says, "Thou art loosed from thine infirmity." You are now free from it. And the Lord here teaches us a number of things. First of all, we learn about the fact that Christ delivers. Secondly, we learn something about Christ's love. And then, thirdly, we learn something about glorifying the Lord. Those are the three things I want you to remember this morning. So first thing is this. Christ delivers. The Lord Jesus Christ delivers. He sets people free. And that's what we read in verse 12. "And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." There was in the synagogue, that's the place where the Jews would go for worship. The Jews who couldn't get to the temple, they would go to various synagogues that were established. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he by going there, showed that it was appropriate to go, to do what we can. We can't go to the temple, but we must gather together to hear the word of God. Well, this is what they did. And the Lord Jesus Christ went there. And there was in that synagogue a woman who was much afflicted, we read. She had become disabled. She's walking in a crouched or bent way. Some say that she had a curvature of the spine, but this was a demonic thing. It was something that was so severe. She was folded up. She was bent low. Her face always down. Her frame of body was so curved that she couldn't stand upright. You might have seen someone like that. And they try, and it's just so painful for them to walk. It causes them all other kinds of problems too. It's not just their back, but it affects every other thing. You have some illness, you find yourself, even though it is in your head, it affects other parts of your body. If you have a toothache, your whole body is unable to work. If you have a cold, it affects you, the whole being. And here is a woman, it's not just a back problem she has. Other things that she has. Other problems. And social problems too. And the Lord Jesus Christ says that the reason was because of Satan. In verse 16, he says, "Satan hath bound her." Satan hath bound. "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" So he says that this is something demonic. And for how long was she like this? For 18 years. The same Satan who had covered Job's body with boils had harmed this woman by force. And of course, all of it was to bring glory to God. God allowed this. God was to use this situation as an opportunity to magnify His grace and show His goodness to those who are bound up by Satan. And in verse 11, it says that she was bowed together. That is, she was bent over. She couldn't stand upright. And as if she's under a burden, great burden. She's under so much pressure. Have you ever been like that? You might have experienced something similar, not exactly the same. Maybe you have pulled a muscle somewhere and you can't move. You're just in that position and it is painful. And you have to wait and wait for it to loosen up. Well, this is far more worse than that. But here she is. She was bowed together. And imagine, it's not just for a day, it's not just for 2 days, it's not just for a few weeks or months, and it is for 18 years. That's how she was. And yet, there is something wonderful here. She wasn't ashamed to go out. She wasn't ashamed to go out, and to go especially to the synagogue. With all her illness, she still went to the appointed place where God's word was to be read and explained. How is it that when we become just a little ill, we would go to work? If there's family gathering, we would go to see family. If there are some other events or other things that we have given our word, we would still go to those things. But to the place where the word of God is preached and where the worship of God is to be had, we find, well, I'm a bit ill. And we find excuses for that. Here was a woman, 18 years, bent over with pain, suffering, and she wasn't ashamed to go out. And she would go. This is something she did. And that's a great lesson, even to Christians today. She comes in one Sabbath morning. She comes in as usual. It was to be another same Sabbath. Oh, she would have been blessed by the hearing of the word of God. She would have been blessed, and the promises of God would have been an encouragement to her. And maybe that is to you as well. You become used to the declaring of the word of God, and it is an encouragement to you. It is like a song in your ear, and you're thankful for it. But that day it became real to her. That day she met the Lord. And so one Sabbath she walks in her pitiable way, but she walks out healed. That's the difference. That's the thing. That's what you ought to pray. Lord, I want to leave here changed, healed. She comes in with her face down to the ground. She leaves looking up to heaven, praising God. She comes looking only to the ground, but then that day she is face to face with Jesus Christ. Look again at verse 12. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. The Lord Jesus Christ knows her case very well. We read about Ananias and Sapphira, didn't we? The Lord knows. The Lord knows the secrets of men's hearts. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew her case because He is God. And He heals her. He has power to heal. She had not gone to be healed. We have to recognize that too. She didn't go to be healed. But she went to do what was right as a Jew. To hear the law of Moses weekly. But there she met with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you are here today and you think, for many years, many, many years, you have gone to church, or from time to time you have gone to church and you have read your Bible, you've prayed, and yet it seems God seems to be distant to you, that you feel that it's not really going in, and you hear the challenges and you think, well, when will the Lord work in my heart? This woman could have had those thoughts. So Do what is right always, and God blesses us in His own good time. There it is that she meets with the Lord. He calls her woman. Woman, thou art loosed. You are loosed now. You are delivered now. You are free now. Then it says that he laid his hands on her. And with that, she was immediately healed. She was immediately made straight. The devil had bound her up. And do you see how the Lord Jesus Christ heals? Do you see how the Lord Jesus Christ can destroy the works of the devil, as the scripture says? It doesn't matter with the Lord Jesus Christ how long she has been afflicted. Oh, others would have said, well, 18 years. How can you be healed from an illness that you've had for 18 years? For us, you would have thought, we would feel that the illness is going to be left there. It is not going to go away. And if you don't see to the illness that you have now, it may linger with you. It will get worse for you. There will be no hope of improvement for you. But not with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks, God is speaking and His word is omnipotent. Oh, it's all powerful. And so you might say, for many years I've been in this condition spiritually. For many years I've been a churchgoer. For many years I've done this and that. For many years my load of sin gets bigger and bigger. My guilt is the same. Is there any hope? Maybe you are a Christian and you have prayed for someone and you have thought, is there any hope? Should I carry on like this? And maybe you even forget. You become so frustrated at times and you forget to continue in prayer for some individual. And you become discouraged over these things. Well, praise God. The Lord is not bound by time. How long a person has been in a certain condition. The Lord can save and the Lord can work greatly. He did that for this woman who's bound for 18 years. Everything must submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil and his weight is thrown off the back of this woman. This woman is, her back is broken, as it were, under the weight of Satan's power. And then she stands straight. She's completely healed. What a sudden thing this is. But also we see here a picture of sin. What sin does to people. What Satan can do to people. And what guilt can do to people. You become uneasy. You're under a great burden. You say that my conscience is not at ease. I have a heavy conscience. It's a picture of a sinner who needs to be released, to be loosed, to be set free. She has come that day as usual. You've come as usual to a place like this to hear the word of God. She comes with all her pain. She comes with all her difficulty. You come the same. With your pains and your guilt and difficulties. She meets with God. She meets with the Lord. She hears the word of God. She receives such a blessing that looses her, frees her. May you also meet the Lord today. You come here weekly. Say to the Lord, Lord, may today be the day that I will be set free. The Lord Jesus Christ has promised to be where His people meet. Be where God's people are. Don't stay by yourself. Go to where God's people are. If you're not a Christian, be amongst Christians. Go with Christians. Be influenced by the Word of God. Make sure, my friends, you go to see the Lord Jesus Christ in every meeting. Then it is that our burdens will be eased when we see Him. He saw her. He is the one who takes away spiritual burden. He is the one who heals our soul. It is Christ who delivers. He looses. He frees the soul from the burden that we carry, which is sin. And what a burden it is. It doesn't just affect us, but it is an offense to God. It is rebellion against God. And so the Lord removes that rebellion as well. He makes sinners stand up to praise Him. And how does he done that? How has he brought about this healing? Is by at his cross, when the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for us. He demonstrated his love for us. There it was that our freedom was forged, at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So go there. If you want your burden to be cast away from you, go to the cross of the Lord Jesus. Behold him. Trust in him for yourself. Repent of your sins. See what sin does. It nailed Christ upon the cross on our behalf. The second thing is this. We see something of the love of the Lord Jesus. Christ's love. We see Christ looses, he sets free, he delivers. Now his love. Christ loves. And what we see is this. In verse 12, once again, it says, "And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is moved towards her first. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who is moved with love towards her, even when she wasn't seeking him, even though she wasn't pleading with him. She said nothing to him. She wasn't looking for him, or at him, or towards him. She didn't know he was there. Her face is down to the ground. And the Lord is the one who sees him, or sees her. And when Jesus saw her, it's the Lord who looks. And it is the Lord who calls this woman to himself and says, "Woman," she had not said a thing. She wasn't seeking after the Lord. But he knew her story. He knew what had happened to her. He knew what affliction she was under. And so he looked at her. He saw her. That was all that she needed. She didn't say, "I have been bound by Satan for 18 years. But the Lord Jesus Christ knew her condition. He looked and he read her life story. And he reads us like an open book. And as the Lord Jesus Christ reads her life, his heart is moved with love, with compassion towards her. Friends, I wonder if there is someone here this morning and you feel cold, you feel empty. You're here and you haven't really sought the Lord about things. You are here because you are here. Someone has brought you here. Someone has encouraged you to be here. But you haven't even prayed, "Lord, meet with me. Lord, speak to my heart this morning." Maybe that is you, like her. Yes, you enjoy certain things. You enjoy seeing people and so on. But you haven't asked the Lord, "Lord, I am here to meet with thee. I'm here to worship thee, Lord." And you haven't sought the Lord's blessing. But my friends, the Lord is the one who sees us. Will he bless you today? Seek him with all your heart. As you hear this, you see his love towards sinners. I wonder if there is anyone here who has not dared to hope even. You have been in this situation for a long time maybe. And you have not even dared to hope, "The Lord sees me." You think the Lord sees other people. This is a message for someone else, you have thought. But you have lost hope and you do not even dare to call upon the name of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ has a wonderful eye, a clear eye for that kind of a person. "He was found of them that sought me not," the scripture says. There may have been a man who had his best suit that day. Maybe there was a man who had his best things, or a woman who was wearing the most expensive and showy dress that day in that synagogue. Maybe there was a group of people who were seen as being the most educated people, or maybe the most religious people of the day. Maybe they were the most good living people of the day. Did the Lord notice them? The Bible doesn't say that. But what we read is that he noticed this woman. He picked out the person who was the most miserable, the most needy, someone who needed him. She didn't know she needed him, but he knew. He doesn't heal someone who doesn't need healing. He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He has come that those who are not righteous or don't see themselves as righteous to receive his healing and salvation. Many people today, they don't think they need the Lord. They don't see any need for God in their lives. They don't need, they see they don't need forgiveness. And so that is why there's little going to a place of worship. There's little Bible reading. There's little praying. There's little seeking after the Lord. And so, yet the Lord seeks those who need him. And he speaks to those and he sees those who need him. And he looked and his heart felt for her because she was bound so tightly under Satan. He saw the pain that she was under. He saw how affliction had removed anything beautiful in her figure. And that's what sin does to us. That's what Satan does to us. Removes any kind of beauty. And she was bent double. That in itself is quite painful. It causes all kinds of other problems. She'd been coming to the synagogue all these years possibly and never been able to stand straight and never be able to stand and look toward heaven. And that's what sin does to us. We, in certain state, we might be for a long time and you're looking down to this earth and to this world and the pressures of life is breaking your back. What will you do? Where will you receive help? Would it be right for her to carry on? Would it do any help if she continued on? There are people who say, well, I just need to carry on in my life. Just work harder and seek to do better. My friends, our back is under great pressure. Pressure of sin. Pressure of uneasy conscience, the weight and the burden of guilt. She was forced to look down. And isn't it the world like a rat race? Isn't it just we are not really making any improvement? Oh yes, that you might make improvements in your natural life, day-to-day life. But your own soul is not advancing. It cannot without the Lord. This woman was a woman who would have talked to people, most likely, but she couldn't see them. She couldn't look up to them. She's all bent back and bent low. She's coming to this synagogue and she couldn't see even the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord yet saw her. And his mind could see the pain and the tears of 18 years and look back. And to see the past 18 years, what has happened? He would have possibly seen a young girl who was caught up in something, who was caught up and her health was affected. Maybe this girl who had been involved in something and Satan had enticed her and dealt in this way with her. A girl who was enjoying life and yet now, what a sad state of life. The Lord sees all of that. But what we should see is the love of Christ. Love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe this morning, my friends, there's someone here and you feel the same kind of a burden. Spiritually speaking, you're bent low. You're looking at your things. And you feel, I can't get away from it. I can't get away from these pressures. Friends, the Lord sees all of that. Maybe there is someone here who used to be like this woman before this happened to her, a happy, happy person, looking forward to things, excited about life. And now all of that enjoyment and pleasure is gone. If you are a young person, boys and girls, see what sin does to us. It removes any beauty, and removes any real spiritual enjoyment from us. Learn from this woman. Seek the Lord early. to have your soul lifted and be given new life early in your life. What a thing that would be if the children here would seek the Lord today. And maybe there's someone here, you say, well, I wish these things were true of me. But you might say, but salvation doesn't come to me. I've sought the Lord, but it's not coming to me. Well, continue on pressing forward. Continue on looking unto Jesus. Continue on praying to Him. Lord, have mercy upon me. The Lord is ever merciful in His sovereignty. So here is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The very fact that He looked upon her. The very fact. He didn't have to see her. He could have ignored her like everybody else. He didn't have to speak to her as He did not speak to anyone else, except rebuking the leader of the synagogue. But He does. And that is our only hope this morning as well. The Lord Jesus Christ has an eye and a tender heart for those who are hopeless. The Lord sees this woman out of the midst of all the others and loves her and shows compassion and then calls her to be healed and goes and then shows mercy by touching her, and she is then healed. Then the final thing is this. The Lord Jesus Christ is glorified. Christ glorified. Luke tells us in his gospel that after this woman stood up straight, it says in verse 12, she glorified God. In verse 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. That's what she did. She did something. It wasn't just that to be healed and then walk away. No, she was healed and there was a response coming forth from her heart. She glorified God. What a natural response that would be. You're living in a day of thanklessness. People are not thankful for their daily mercies. People would be sitting at their dinner table and they don't give thanks to God. They receive some gift or they would... And someone would do them a favor and they don't even say thank you. We're living in a day like that. But when the Lord works in our hearts, when the Lord saves a soul, that sinner is brought to thanksgiving and praise of the Lord. Wouldn't you praise God if you were afflicted like this woman for 18 years with a bad backbending, demonic affliction, and you give thanks to God, glorified God? What a wonderful interruption that would be in our service. I wouldn't stop anyone whom the Lord touches and they stand up to praise God that the Lord has saved me. That would be a wonderful sight to see. God's salvation. That wouldn't be a distraction at all. She stood straight in front of everybody. Friends, if you have ever known this kind of a load of sin crushing you to the ground, and then the Lord Jesus Christ coming to you in His mercy and taking that load of sin away and say, you are now pardoned. You are now loosed and set free. Your chain is now broken. You would also glorify God. You would be filled with praise and thanksgiving. She glorified God. She would have praised and she would have even gone home and told people like others that the Lord Jesus Christ healed. This man must be the Son of God. Praise His name. What if she was a quiet person? Some of us are very quiet. We are very shy. What if she was not very good with words? She still stood up straight, in her heart glorifying God, in her heart rejoicing. She would be beaming with joy. People would notice the difference, wouldn't they? This woman who was known to be 18 years with this illness, everybody would have known. And then now she's standing up straight. People would see there's something different. She is now healed from this illness. This hopeless case is now full of hope and thanksgiving. What would people think of you, those of you who are truly converted, those of you who are truly Christians? What do people think of you? What do people see in your life? Do they see that, yes, this person, I may not agree with him or her, I may find things offensive that they believe in, but this person is converted. Their faith, their Christianity is real. Their language is different. Their attitude is different. Their tone of voice is different. Their responses to problems is different. Whatever happens in workplace, yet they are given much grace to deal with it. Oh, it is not that they are strong, or they may be very weak. They may have all kinds of illnesses and problems. But their response to things is different to the rest. Why is that? Do we give glory to God who has brought the change in us? There's one man that I was reading of yesterday. I mentioned him tonight, but he was an atheist many years ago. Malcolm Muggeridge. And he, for many, many years, he was a presenter in the media. And he was, I believe, an editor of Daily Telegraph for years. And he brought forth all kinds of criticisms of Christianity. And he was a rank atheist. And then he was converted. And I only read yesterday, it is on the Daily Telegraph website, that for the first 60 years of his life, he was an evil man, a wicked man. He did all kinds of abuse to people around her. Vile things. But her granddaughter wrote and said, but when he was converted, all changed. And that's in secular media. She wasn't a Christian writing this, but his Christianity, she said, made all the difference. He was no longer the same. That's the change. Others saw. And I can't imagine this woman stopped glorifying God after this time. No, I'm sure because of this, she would glorify God in everything. She would be glad to tell that story, that account of what happened that day. She went into the synagogue and she would tell, maybe, we don't know, she may have got married. We are just thinking about this. But what would happen if, as she would meet others, she would have maybe children, grandchildren, various relatives. And she would go over the same story again. Let me tell you what happened to me. And the children would say, tell us again what happened. And she would tell them again in joy and thanksgiving. How do we express our love for the Lord Jesus, friends? Do we have a testimony that God has saved me and He has done great things for me? He has given me this knowledge of Himself, this love for Himself, even though I've been unworthy. Maybe you are here and you think, well, I really don't know. I was too young to remember. Or the circumstances around my conversion is so confusing and I can't put a date on it. I don't know what happened and so on. And you might have certain doubts this morning. As I sometimes have as well, this is what Christians naturally go through. At times we have doubts about things, and yet we begin to think, but I know whom I have believed. I know who is the Lord. I know He is the only Savior. I know He has put a new love for Him in my heart. I know that I love Him. With all of my weaknesses, with the fact that I have bad memory of my past and how I came to know Him, and all the circumstances that revolved around my conversion, I can't explain all of that. Yet my testimony is, I know the Lord has done a great thing. He died for my soul, and I praise Him, and I am so unworthy. And I think, my friends, every Christian here, if you were to witness like this in your homes, in your workplace, in your school, in university, wherever you are through the week, it will change. It will change the atmosphere. It will change people around you. We have friends, if you're a child of God, you have a very positive and personal message of your story of salvation and meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can say, I don't know all the details, but I know there was a time I was under a weight of sin, like this woman. I wasn't seeking after the Lord, but the Lord saw me and spoke to me. And you can say, well, here is my story too. Here is my account as well. So friends, here is this woman. The Lord Jesus Christ saw her. He didn't see her, him, or she didn't see him, but the Lord Jesus Christ saw her. He called out to her. He called her to himself. He spoke the words of the gospel to her. The good news of that day to her. Woman, thou art loosed. And that message of salvation continues to be preached to all. Goes forth throughout the world. Sinners are to be loosed from the chains of their sin. Satan has caused blindness for us. Satan has caused all kinds of things and deceived us. And we are under a great weight and burden. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to us, through my death upon the cross, all you who are weary and heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. That's what she heard. That is what we declare today. And may you also return thanks to him. Glorify God. And whatever people may say, however religious people and other people might say, why is this all fanaticism? Why all this thing that you are saying? And who is this Jesus Christ? You can go over the same story. This is what I was. This is what he has done for me. This is what I am looking forward to. May the Lord then speak to us and bless his word. Amen.